I cannot tell you how glad I am that Christmas is here. Because we have had Hallmark Christmas movies since before Halloween. And Jill and I have probably seen them all. And the plots are similar, and you can tell when they're about to have the almost kiss, you know. And we have our favorite actors and actresses. But most of the time, they revolve around someone who is being rather non-Christmas. They're having difficulty. They're struggling. They've had something in their past where they just can't wrap themselves around this Christmas thing. And when I see this happening, I'm always prompted to think, why isn't it non-Christian instead of non-Christmas? Why aren't they struggling with what it really means to be a Christian during this season? You know, I've learned one thing through watching all of these movies in which I usually nap frequently. They're all seeking a deeper sense of happiness. They're either trying to reclaim a lost happiness or find a new place of... I see some nods. There are others that watch these, trust me. Find it geographically or try to find happiness relationally. And it makes me kind of sad. Because of all of the effort and time that they're putting into chasing this thing called happiness. Last week, I had the opportunity, it was a wonderful opportunity, to gather with some of our Cub Scouts. There were several of us that were invited to come and speak to them about Christmas, and I was invited to come and talk about it from the religious context, and I had to compete against Santa Claus and those who were making food for them from different types of heritages and traditions. So I get the Cub Scouts in, and I'm talking to them a little bit about some of the things that make Christmas, Christmas. I'm talking to them about how we really didn't have a feast day in the Christian church for almost 350 years after Christ. That it took that long for that to be incorporated as part of our holy feast days. And when we did, we started to develop some ideas and traditions about it around December 25th. And I asked them about this cap that somewhere that has kind of white and then red and then a little white ball on the end of it, and talking about where that might have come from. And I introduced them to the idea or the person of Saint Nicholas or Bishop Nicholas from Greece, who wore a mitre, a tall hat, that was what colors? Red and white. And that's where we see some of our religious traditions moving into the secular holiday. And it struck me, after we had some conversation, I was talking with the scouts and I asked them, I said, do you have any questions about Christmas? And they said, well, we'd like to know a little more about Rudolph. And I kind of ducked that one, and then I said, any others? Well, how long have Santa and Mrs. Claus been married? And so I think he said, the guy you need to ask is right down the hallway. Okay, Santa is down there. This is the guy you need to ask. But what that really showed me was how much our secular holidays have become entwined with our religious beliefs, and how hard it is to be able to pull those apart and start to see exactly what it is that you and I are celebrating this evening. Remember, I said with the Hallmark movies that it appears that they're always trying to seek some form of happiness. And what I find is that the happiness curve in these movies goes something like this. Okay, it's like, well, I'm kind of attracted. No, it can't happen. Well, maybe it can. Well, maybe not. And this keeps going on. But isn't that like happiness? We're always trying to get the next bump, the next level of our happiness. And as soon as we get it, what happens to it? Down it goes again. And so we spend so much of our lives chasing after this elusive thing that we call happiness. It comes to us in many ways. There's many types of happiness that we chase. And I would argue that we even at times become addicted to that chase, just to try to find the next bump in our happiness. Well, that's different, you see, than what we are talking about this evening. Happiness is a transitory feeling. It's fleeting. We need to continually be seeking the next episode of happiness in our lives. And yes, we can become addicted to the pursuit of happiness. But we sang a carol earlier, and that was not happiness to the world. What was it?
Joy.
Joy to the world. Joy to the world. And joy is a very different thing. Joy is an abiding sense of well-being that is rooted deeply within our soul. It does not depend upon the next stimulus. It doesn't diminish itself, making us want the next bump. Rather, it brings a profound sense of calm and security during times of conflict and chaos. We heard this evening a bit of Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to go over that again, and I'd like to put a few editorial comments in as we go. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And how did they respond? They were terrified. They were in the presence of pure joy. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." They were in the presence of pure joy and were terrified. How many of us are like that? How many of us, when we are in the presence of joy that just is deep in our soul and we feel it or we see it with others and it's just radiating from them and we're terrified because we don't know what to do with it? We know how to handle our happiness, right? We'll enjoy it and wait till it wears off and go chase it again. But this joy, this feeling that is more than a feeling, it dwells within us. And all we have to do is acknowledge it and let it out. Because that's how we've been built. Chasing happiness leads us to short-term feelings of pleasure but it never will fill us with the true bliss that genuine joy can do. Searching for happiness in the world will always leave us wanting in the long run. But searching for genuine joy, really seeking that with everything that we are, is why you and I are here tonight. That's why we're here. We don't want to be just happy for a few minutes. We want joy that changes our lives and permeates the world. Christian joy, you see, does not come from the outside, but rather from the inside by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's born of the mysterious and the current action of God in the heart of each human being through a state of grace. Because of this, it cannot be extinguished by tribulation. Yesterday, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, Kathy reminded us of Mary's prayer of joy when she visited Elizabeth and the children jumped within them. We heard Mary say, "My soul," listen to these words, "my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Magnifies the Lord. Joy always magnifies the Lord. It always starts in one place, but just like those angels in the field with the shepherds, it comes out to magnify the Lord. That's joy. That's not happiness. That's real joy. And she said, "My spirit rejoices in God." True joy always is a rejoicing in God. That is not mere happiness. Actually, that's it in a nutshell. Genuine joy is magnifying God's glory and allowing our spirit to resonate with that expression to the world. Now, if you remember the story of Mary, she was in a state of complete joy in explaining to Elizabeth what she was feeling, what was going on inside of her. But just remember, this Mary is an unwed teenage person in a time where being an unwed teenage person could get you killed. And her soul magnified the Lord. I doubt that she was really happy about her situation, but she was filled with joy. Joy enables us to have strength and peace in any circumstance. We need only look at the history of the Christian people for about the first 250 years after Christ. A time when being Christian was taking a deadly risk, because the emperors would request that all people sacrifice to the Roman gods. And if you refused, you were rounded up, and you became the noontime entertainment in the Colosseum, where you were sacrificed, killed, often by wild animals, as a punishment for not making sacrifice to the Roman gods. And these same Christians, while facing pain of death, gathered together and sang praises to God as they died. Imagine that. The joy that even in the face of death allows you to praise God. I don't think there was much happiness in their situation. But the love of God exceeded love of self. And the joy that was within them shone forth to all. Now, I'm kind of giving happiness a bad rap tonight, and I don't really mean to do that. Despite all of its limitations, happiness and our desire for it is a positive sign that there is within us a real yearning to be full, a real yearning to be positive. But when we settle for happiness and we do not bring full joy into our lives, we're settling for too little. We're made for greater than that. God has made us for greater than that and given us more than just mere happiness. Our hearts will always be restless. That's how we're made. And we will always fall into the trap at times in our life where we are seeking our next bump of happiness. But we will never really know peace, and we will never rest in the Lord until we open ourselves to the true joy, which is given to us in Jesus Christ. So today, what are you seeking? Are you seeking happiness? Or are you really here to seek the joy that is offered to us by the incarnation of God in human form? Open yourself to what joy can do. And when you do, it will change everything. It will change everything about you, and if we permit it to happen within us, it can change the world as well. That's why God has given us the gift of joy. And don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish with your joy. Let others know that it's welling up within you. And let it be your thanksgiving to the God who has blessed us with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.